Chapter 6.
The highways are lined with graves, like the fingernails of giants, like blood pulled through a vein. We rush the west in silence, and I am not the one you wanted here. Often out of reach to those who want it most.
Considering it was a relatively simple mission, by the time Clint sets the Quinjet down in the tower hangar, Steve feels inordinately exhausted. He grunts as he pushes himself to his feet, his side and thigh throbbing where he'd been grazed by a couple of stray bullets during the fight. The wounds are shallow but long, and although they're already starting to close, they're a constant annoyance, along with the ache in his shoulder where he'd wrenched a muscle catching the shield from a bad angle. "Careful, old man," Natasha jabs as she passes him. It's half-hearted and distracted, most of her energy focusing on trying to shake flakes of ash out of her hair. Steve just rolls his eyes and ignores her. They'd gotten the job done, wiped out the Hydra base and handed the few survivors over to Sharon for the CIA to deal with, which was honestly more time-consuming than the fight itself had been. All Steve wants to do is take a shower and curl up on the couch with twice his body weight in Chinese takeout. What he gets instead, once the loading ramp has finished lowering for them to disembark, is Bucky pacing in restless circles just beyond the ramp and muttering to himself. Bucky looks up sharply at the sound of the ramp settling against the concrete floor of the hangar, and starts moving forward with such intensity that Steve almost reaches for the shield. Steve has enough time to observe the determined set of Bucky's jaw and the deep crease between his eyebrows before Bucky launches himself up the loading ramp and into Steve. Steve is tired enough that he stumbles back half a step from the force of Bucky's body colliding with his, but then his brain shorts out as Bucky's tongue pushes its way into his mouth. Steve is only distantly aware of Thor chuckling as he passes them down the ramp, his boots clomping heavily over the metal. By the time Bucky pulls away enough for Steve to regain any awareness of the rest of the room, everyone else has cleared out, and they're alone in the hangar. Bucky pulls back enough for Steve to see his face, but his arms stay locked around Steve's shoulders. Bucky's lips are swollen from the kiss, and there's an intensity in his eyes that makes the pit of Steve's stomach do a swoop. There's something familiar about it, something that niggles in the back of Steve's mind, but he can't quite place it.
"That was a hell of a welcome back, Buck," Steve manages, once he's caught his breath again.
He can feel a flush burning on the back of his neck and something tight in his chest. Steve has had plenty of opportunities to kiss Bucky in the past few months, but there had always been an edge of caution to it, an uncertain distance that they both continually stepped around without talking about it. Bucky pouncing on him and kissing him in front of most of the team? That is something entirely new, and Steve is dizzy with it. Bucky's hands slide down Steve's chest, roaming and eager and possessive. That's it! The familiarity that Steve couldn't place clicks in his mind. He flashes back to before the war, to curling up miserable and alone in their apartment while Bucky is out with some girl. Not blaming Bucky for it, not begrudging the girl a piece of Bucky's attention, but lonely and maybe a little bitter. But only until Bucky came home. Until Bucky crawled into their bed, smelling faintly of perfume, but all roaming, groping hands, more eager and possessive than ever. This is Bucky feeling guilty. This is Bucky reasserting his dedication to Steve. But before Steve can say anything, before he can ask the baffled question of who, Bucky's roaming hand finds the graze in Steve's side, still wet with blood. Steve bites back a soft hiss at the renewed stab of pain, but Bucky is pressed close enough to feel Steve's breath catch in his chest. Bucky pulls away, first glancing at Steve's face, then down at his own flesh hand, now smeared with Steve's blood. Bucky swears, stepping back and grabbing for Steve's uniform, trying to pull it up enough to see the wound. Steve is fast enough, just barely, to catch Bucky's hand and fend him off. "It's fine," Steve tries, but Bucky's gaze has found the blood staining Steve's pants from the other graze on his thigh, and his expression twists up into a tight look of mixed horror and rage. "You got shot," Bucky accuses, his voice a sharp hiss. "What are you doing standing here? You need to go to the hospital." Even as he's talking, Bucky tries to tuck himself under Steve's shoulder and prod him forward. "I do not need a hospital," Steve denies. He twists out of Bucky's grip so that he can stand in front of Bucky, stopping his forward motion but keeping an arm around him. "I heal fast. I'll be good as new in a couple of hours. All I need is a shower and some dinner, I promise." Bucky scowls at him, looking unconvinced. "You need a doctor," he argues firmly. "Sam checked me over on the flight in," Steve protests, and Bucky makes a loud noise. "Sam," he says with emphasis, "is not a doctor." He's pushing at Steve. Not hard, but enough to prod him gradually in the direction of the elevator. And a part of Steve wants to laugh because they have had so many arguments very similar to this in back alleys all over Brooklyn. "No," Steve agrees. "He's a field medic, which means he specializes in bullet holes." He says it smugly and keeps talking before Bucky can work up another retort. "Look, if you really want to help, let's go inside and you can make me dinner." It's a trick Steve had learned early on in life. The best way to distract Bucky from hovering over him is to give Bucky something else to do. "I'll even let you give me a once-over before I shower." Bucky grumbles the whole way and keeps a stubbornly supportive arm around Steve's waist, but he lets Steve steer them into the elevator. Steve pushes the button for the penthouse instead of the communal floor because he has not forgotten the intensity of Bucky's greeting, and he still intends to get to the bottom of it. By the time Bucky has thoroughly poked and prodded all of Steve's scrapes and bruises, reluctantly declared himself satisfied, and retreated so that he can procure dinner while Steve showers, Steve's annoyance at being fussed over has melted into fond familiarity, and he is very much looking forward to spending the rest of the evening curled up on the couch, preferably with his head in Bucky's lap. When Steve emerges from the shower, damp-haired and wearing his most comfortable pajamas, he's delighted to find a pile of cartons from his favorite Chinese takeout place on the kitchen table. He is somewhat less delighted to find Bucky trying to look like he's doing something important in the kitchen, while Tony tries equally hard to look busy messing with the television remote in the adjacent living room. Steve pauses for a moment in the doorway to the master suite, watching them both. Watching as they determinedly don't look at each other, as Tony grumbles under his breath at the perfectly functional remote, and Bucky collects cutlery with a little too much force. And all the pieces fall into place. Well, frankly, Steve would be lying if he said he hadn't thought about it before. About the way Tony and Bucky just seem to flow together. About the way they both light up when they're in the workshop. And about how magnificent they would look in bed together. But that doesn't mean he knows how to react to the very obvious awkwardness standing in front of him. Bucky and Tony don't give Steve much time to figure out a reaction, however. The thought has no sooner occurred to Steve than Tony is tossing the remote onto the armchair, without having actually done anything with it, as far as Steve can tell. And Bucky appears from the kitchen, armed with forks, knives, and chopsticks. "About time," Tony declares, throwing himself down into the armchair on top of the remote. "I'm starving." "You didn't have to wait for me," Steve points out. It takes more effort than it should have to push himself away from the doorframe and across the room. Now that the last of the adrenaline from the fight has washed down the drain with the film of soot and blood he'd scrubbed off in the shower, exhaustion weighs heavily on Steve's shoulders, and all the aches and pains that he'd been ignoring make their presence known with a vengeance. He has to breathe carefully around the burning itch in his side, and his injured thigh throbs with every step. Most people wouldn't have noticed a slight limp, but neither Tony nor Bucky are most people.
"You're grounded, by the way," Tony adds. "I told you not to get shot this time."
Tony's eyes don't linger on Steve. Just flick to him long enough to note the limp, the way he can't help hugging his injured side a little, and the swelling bruise on his cheekbone. Then away again as he starts digging through the piles of takeout curtains and unloading half of them altogether into a very large bowl.
"Not my fault," Steve complains. Bucky, having deposited the cutlery on the coffee table, narrowly missing Tony's head as he'd done so, hurries over and shoves his shoulder under Steve's armpit to help him to the couch. Steve doesn't actually need the support, but after everything, there's a certain novelty to Bucky being there to fuss over him again, so he allows it. The other kids wouldn't play fair.
Tony brandishes a pair of chopsticks at him, accidentally flicking a few grains of rice onto the floor.
"Grounded," he repeats.
Steve grunts as his ass lands on the couch with a loud enough thump to make him wince a little.
"Sure, fine," he relents,
and he can't help smiling a little. Tony hands him a bowl piled high with fried rice, lo mein, and at least 6 different kinds of chicken. Bucky, on the other hand, is not so easily satisfied. Though, in fairness, Steve reasons, Bucky has had less experience with Steve getting shot in recent memory, and Bucky's faith in the serum's capabilities seems to fluctuate. He settles himself on the couch next to Steve, leaving next to no room for personal space between them. Even though he'd already inspected Steve before his shower, he starts pulling up Steve's shirt to prod at the bandage Steve had taped over the half-healed graze in his side.
"Fuck, come on," Steve complains around a mouthful of rice. "Could you not undress me right now?"
"Why? Tony's seen it before," Bucky dismisses offhandedly, and Steve freezes. He can sense Tony tensing up a little in the chair as well. Bucky notices and pauses, his gaze flicking up first to Steve's face, then over to Tony.
"I saw you kissing him goodbye this morning," he says, like it's nothing.
Steve's stomach flips a little uncomfortably. He's tried hard to be mostly honest with Bucky about his and Tony's relationship, but there hadn't been time before he left for the mission that morning, and he'd only given Tony a brief chaste kiss when he thought Bucky was in the other room. Steve is too busy processing that to protest anymore, and Bucky peels back the edge of the bandage enough to satisfy himself before giving Steve his modesty back. Seemingly unperturbed by Steve's reaction, Bucky grabs a spring roll from the pile of takeout and settles back into the couch cushions without further comment. Tony, having recovered from his initial surprise, doesn't seem to notice Steve's discomfort either. Tony's attention is on Bucky, his lips pursed and his eyes slightly narrowed in the sort of look that he usually aims at a new piece of tech that he is mentally disassembling.
"Is that what this afternoon was about?" Tony asks.
Bucky pauses for a fraction of a second, then shakes his head.
"This afternoon was..."
He pauses again, eyes flicking to Steve and away again.
"It was a mistake, I guess."
Tony raises an eyebrow.
"Well, I'm insulted," he complains. "You didn't exactly give me time to show you my real moves."
"No, I..." Bucky swallows, licks his lips in a nervous tone that he never used to have. I didn't realize it was the first time, he admits. And his eyes flick back and forth between Steve and Tony again, watching them both carefully. Steve realizes that he has been holding a piece of chicken halfway up to his mouth for the past several minutes, only belatedly as he drops the fork and it clatters against the edge of his bowl. Bucky starts slightly at the sound, and his eyes are a little wide when they lock onto Steve's expression. I kissed him this afternoon, Bucky clarifies, his mouth pulling down into a tight line of guilt. I'm sorry, I thought... He fumbles, his breath starting to come a little faster, and he's squeezing the remains of his spring roll a little too hard, bits of carrot and cabbage spilling out onto his hand. It's okay, Steve says immediately, because Bucky panicking is the last thing he wants right now, and that's the priority. I sort of figured. Bucky blinks. How? Did the computer? Steve can't help but chuckle a little at the deer in headlights look on Bucky's face. Carefully, he sets his bowl down on the coffee table. Clearly, this is a conversation that requires all of his attention, and the bowl is mostly empty anyways. Your greeting wasn't exactly subtle, Buck, he points out, and his voice would be gentle if only he could stop smiling. Didn't realize it was Tony until I saw you two avoiding each other, though, he adds, and his grin only widens at the sound of Tony's annoyed huff. Bucky relaxes enough to finish the last couple bites of his spring roll and licks his fingers clean. He can't stop himself from frequently glancing at both Steve and Tony, a certain lingering hesitation in his face. But there's a slow smirk spreading at the corners of Bucky's mouth, one that is so familiar it makes Steve's chest ache. You remember, Stevie? Bucky says slowly, taking his time licking the last bit of cabbage off of his finger. How we used to talk about sharing a girl sometimes, you know? Taking her back to our place, holding her between us in our bed, working together to take her apart. Steve can't help the slight blush that rises up his neck. You talked, he argues, shaking his head. I was never delusional enough to believe that any of those girls would take a second look at me. Bucky's face twists, and he lurches so fast, Steve almost backs away. Before Steve knows it, Bucky is half in his lap, Bucky's left hand resting lightly at the base of Steve's neck, metal thumb just slightly pressing at the hollow of Steve's throat. His eyes are narrowed and burning with an intensity that is breathtaking. Those girls were blind and dumb not to see your worth, Bucky says, his voice little more than a low rumble that sends a rush of heat all the way through Steve's tired body. Steve swallows convulsively, and he has no response to that except to lean forward and close the scant distance between their lips. He kisses Bucky hard and fast, his hands automatically settling on Bucky's hips and pulling him closer. It's deep and hungry, their teeth clicking together in their haste, but Steve doesn't care. When they finally part, they're both flushed and breathing heavily, and Bucky's eyes are such a deep, sharp shade of blue that Steve thinks he might get lost in them forever. Tony clears his throat pointedly. Well, that was one hell of a show, Tony says, and his voice is dry, but Steve knows him well enough to hear the edge of arousal to it. Bucky is still in Steve's lap, but he twists around to look at Tony, and Steve can tell that Bucky heard it too. Steve takes a breath, forces away the want and the need, enough to pull his brain back online. Tony isn't just some girl, he says quietly, drawing Bucky's attention back to himself. But Bucky just smiles. That slow, easy smirk again. He drapes an arm around Steve's shoulder, but keeps himself half-turned as though displaying them both to Tony's gaze. No, Bucky agrees. He's so much better. Bucky leans in, running his nose along the line of Steve's jaw in a slow drag. But his eyes remained on Tony.
He sees you the way I do.
He sees how much you're worth. Steve can't help the shiver that runs down his spine, or the way his breath catches in his chest. Tony hasn't moved from dark and heavy, and the air in the room is so thick with lust that for a moment, Steve finds it hard to breathe. Smooth as silk, Bucky slides out of Steve's lap, without so much as jostling Steve's injuries. His hips sway a little as he crosses the short distance to Tony's chair. He holds out a hand to Tony, all swagger and charm. And if they weren't all so wound up already, it would have been hilarious.
What do you say, big shot?
Bucky asks, hands still outstretched.
You gonna show me those moves of yours or not?
Tony, responding to the undertone of challenge in Bucky's voice, matches Bucky's smirk.
Oh, I'll show you moves,
he agrees.
I'll move you right out of this world, baby.
Tony accepts Bucky's hand, using it to pull himself to his feet and right up into Bucky's personal space, pressing in close, both teasing and tempting. Steve can only stare at them for a long minute, and then he loses it. The feeling just wells up in him like a helium balloon until it overtakes him, and he has to double over, clutching his wounded side as it spills out of him. For a moment, he isn't sure if he's laughing or crying. The feeling is just too big and too all-encompassing to assess. Maybe it's both. But all at once, all the tension, all the uncertainty and anxiety and guilt that he's been carrying for months, for years, it's bursting out of him, and all he can think is, "Fuck, I love these two idiots." By the time Steve comes back to himself enough to be aware of his surroundings again, Tony is sitting beside him with a hand on his shoulder, and Bucky is squatting in front of him, his hands braced on Steve's knees. Tony looks worried, while Bucky looks faintly bemused.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Steve manages to wheeze, working to get himself back under control. It's an adrenaline crash. At least partially, Steve knows that. He's experienced plenty of them before, and the heady, shaky rush is familiar.
You've had a long day, Tony says.
He runs gentle fingers through Steve's hair, and God, but that feels nice.
I think it's time for bed.
No, Steve protests. Exhaustion is settling back over him, heavy, trying to drag him down. But it's not enough to ward off the sudden rush of panic that starts to bubble up in his chest.
I'm fine. Don't... You should...
He fumbles, his tongue uncoordinated, and he's not entirely sure what he's trying to say, except that Tony and Bucky are now focusing on him instead of each other, and that's not what he wants.
Definitely time for bed, Bucky agrees, overriding Steve's protests.
Between the two of them, they lever Steve up off the couch and propel him toward the bedroom.
Steve has no choice but to follow, half tripping over his own feet as he tries to cling to both of them at once.
They deposit him onto the bed, but he manages to keep a hold of Tony's shirt, dragging Tony down with him. Tony doesn't resist him, gently shoving at Steve so that Steve is lying the right way across the bed and Tony can get the blankets over him. Over Tony's shoulder, Steve sees Bucky heading for the door, leaving the room.
No, Steve insists, trying to lunge after Bucky, but Tony catches him, pushes him back down. Easy, Steve, Bucky says, raising an eyebrow at him. I'm just going to put the rest of the food away. I'll be back.
Steve doesn't like it. The overwhelming rush of too many emotions all at once still racing through his veins. But Tony is pushing him down onto the pillows, half lying on top of him to keep him from trying to get up again. And the bed really is very comfortable.
You should...
Steve tries half-heartedly to push Tony away.
Go back to what you were doing. Go... be with him.
You two are good for each other.
Tony smiles at him, pushing hair back from Steve's face, before leaning down and kissing him gently.
We will, Steve. But it'll be more fun if you're coherent enough to enjoy it, too. We have time.
No, Steve protests. Irrationally, a distant part of him knows. But he's so tired. And he's spent so long. Since they found Bucky, but really, since before that even. Since he'd first fallen into bed with Tony. Since he'd found out Bucky was still alive. He's been trying to reconcile his two worlds, his two loves. Splitting himself between Tony and Bucky. Letting himself believe that it was fair. That there was enough of him to go around, that he could protect them both, keep them both happy. But this? Now that the option is sitting in front of him? The idea of not splitting himself between them, but of having them both together, safe and happy, not just with him, but protecting and taking care of each other as well. It's more happiness than he'd ever dared dream of for himself. And yet, he might not get to keep it. There isn't time. He'll forget. He'll forget you. It isn't fair.
Okay. First of all, Steve, I'm gonna need you to take a deep breath, Tony says.
He lets Steve sit up enough to lean back against the headboard.
Steve is so exhausted his whole body aches with it. But there isn't a chance in hell that he's going to fall asleep anytime soon, and he can't bear how vulnerable and out of control he feels lying on his back. Steve does as he's told. The panic and renewed surge of adrenaline are beginning to fade, and ruthlessly works to wrestle his emotions back under control. In the wake of his meltdown, he's left with a cold, horrible sense of reality.
This isn't fair. Steve says quietly, after several moments of strained silence, while Tony waits for him to calm down. Tony is sitting next to him on the bed, cross-legged and angled so he can face Steve, one knee just brushing up against Steve's hip.
None of this. I should never have put you in this position. You or Bucky.
Because Steve can see it now. See all the ways that he's been deluding himself for months. He thinks about Tony's resigned withdrawal when they first brought Bucky in. The way Tony has kept his distance, allowed Steve and Bucky time alone together, never said anything on the nights when Steve ends up sleeping in Bucky's bed instead of the one he and Tony are supposed to share. And Bucky, watching them silently. How many times Bucky has woken up in a strange world to discover Steve is with someone else.
God, I'm so fucking selfish.
He can't look at Tony as he says the words, his throat going tight and filled with bile.
You're a dumbass is what you are,
Bucky says, his voice equal parts grumpy and affectionate.
Steve startles, not having heard Bucky come back in.
But Bucky comes over to the bed, sitting on the side opposite, one knee, while the other dangles over the edge of the bed.
No, Bucky, you don't understand. Steve tries,
but Bucky doesn't let him finish.
Look, I know I'm like 70 years behind the times, but I'm not stupid.
Bucky cuts him off firmly.
So, let's see if I've got this right. A bunch of bad shit happened to me, which, frankly, I'm probably glad I don't remember. And now my memory is all messed up for good. Somewhere in all that, you moved on and found yourself someone to settle down with, which, by the way, you were supposed to do when I signed on for the war to begin with. But then I came back, and you've been tearing yourself to pieces trying to keep us both happy. Except now that we're offering the very obvious solution of all three of us sticking together, you've somehow convinced yourself that this is all too good to be true, and you don't deserve happiness or some other bull like that.
Bucky crosses his arms over his chest, giving Steve an expectant glare.
What exactly don't I understand?
Steve blinks, and Tony snorts.
Well, he does know you pretty well, Tony says.
Damn them both.
It ain't that simple, Buck,
Steve says, slowly,
quietly, agonized. He can't help looking at Tony, and Tony meets his eyes. There's an understanding there in Tony's gaze, but Tony just shakes his head and smiles a little. He rests a hand on Stave's thigh, gentle and reassuring. And how can Tony be so calm? Because this whole situation, it only really works for Steve. Because Steve wants this. Aches to be able to wake up in the morning with both of the men he loves at his side. He longs to watch them together. To spend the rest of his life memorizing all the ways Bucky and Tony work together like perfectly matched gears. He's going to forget you, Steve says, staring at Tony. Because that's the cold, horrible reality that both Tony and Bucky are refusing to acknowledge. Tomorrow, or the next day, or maybe even the day after that, he's going to wake up and not know who you are. You can't... How could you live with that? And we can't hold him to any promises that he doesn't remember making. It's not... It won't work. Bucky is frowning, his full lips pursed. His eyes flick to Tony, and there's a hesitation there, an uncertainty. Tony, on the other hand, seems utterly unperturbed. Bucky, Tony says, his voice calm and his expression level. Let me ask you a question. Bucky's frown deepens, but nods slightly, and he tilts his head, waiting. Earlier, you said that when you kissed me this afternoon, you didn't realize it was the first time. Steve blinks, mentally reviewing the tumultuous past hour to find that Tony is right. What made you think that? Bucky blinks, and his eyes shift from Tony to Steve and back again, looking baffled. Because of the videos, he says. And the file? There's a slight uptick to his voice, turning his answer into a question. But Steve is just as confused as Bucky is. What file? Steve asks. They have plenty of files on Bucky. Files about the Winter Soldier, his medical files since they brought him in. But no videos. Nothing that would make Bucky think he and Tony are dating. At least, not that Steve knows of. On the computer showed me. Bucky gestures in a vague way that encompasses both the ceiling and the flat screen monitor mounted on the wall. He looks sort of helpless, blinking at both of them. Jarvis? Tony prompts. Unnecessarily, as the monitor on the wall has already turned on and a file opens on the screen that contains several video clips as well as a few JPEGs. Why are there files on my server that I don't know about? Tony asks, his eyes narrowed.
There are many files on the tower's servers which you have not personally curated.
Jarvis responds, calm and unflappable as ever.
These files have been stored at the request of Sergeant Barnes, although there are a few that I have taken the liberty of adding by my own initiative.
Bucky blinks. My request? What are they? Steve asks, distinctly less interested in the who and how.
They are...
Jarvis pauses, not a hesitation, but a consideration.
Memories.
Jarvis opens one of the files, and Steve recognizes it immediately as a video clip from the automated cameras throughout the building that serve as both security measures and Jarvis's eyes. The video shows a broad angle on the common room, and the half-empty bowls of popcorn and miscellaneous array of pillows indicate the tail end of a team movie night. The room appears deserted except for Steve and Tony, visible even in the low light thanks to Jarvis's highly sensitive cameras. Steve is stretched out across the length of one of the couches, his head tilted back against the armrest, while Tony is half wedged in between Steve and the back cushions of the couch, his head resting on Steve's chest, with Steve's arms wrapped securely around him. They're both asleep. A few seconds in, a third figure enters the frame, moving with careful stealth. The light glints off of Bucky's metal arm as he carefully drapes a blanket over the sleeping pair. But instead of pulling away, Bucky pauses. After a still moment, he reaches out and very gently brushes a lock of hair back from Tony's face before he pulls back and walks back out of the frame. The clip lasts for less than 20 seconds, but it makes Steve's chest go tight with something warm and tender. The image on the screen goes static, but then audio kicks in. Bucky's recorded voice whispers soft, both secret and tentative. Jarvis, you have cameras all over this joint, right? Recording us? Could you save this for later? Bucky's voice catches slightly. Just the faintest pause in the recording, and Steve distantly realizes that he's holding his breath as he waits for Bucky to finish. I don't want to forget. The breath goes out of Steve all at once in a gush, and he blinks hard against the sudden prickle in the corner of his eyes. Bucky, Steve starts. But he doesn't know what to say. There are dozens of files listed in the folder Jarvis has pulled up. Some of the video is only a few seconds long, but others contain hours of footage. Tony pushes himself off the bed, crossing to the monitor, and digging through the files with a sort of frenzy. There are clips of the whole team, and a lot of it is pretty mundane. Bucky and Clint playing video games, Bruce expertly flipping pancakes, Tony arguing with Dummy. It isn't everything Bucky has experienced and lost over the past several months. There's no way it could be, but it's a good sampling. But of all the bits and pieces, all the snippets and fragments of Bucky's life with the Avengers, so many of the clips are Tony. Tony working, Tony laughing, Tony reading, Tony sleeping, Tony bickering with Bruce and drinking with Clint and flirting with Steve. It seems like half the clips are set in Tony's workshop, which isn't surprising. Steve knows better than most that the workshop is where Tony is happiest, where Tony is most genuinely himself. Tony is flipping through the files rapidly, muttering to himself and grumbling at Jarvis by turns. But he isn't paying attention, isn't seeing what is now so brilliantly obvious to Steve. Because it's right there, the puzzle piece that they had all been missing. It's in the choices of clips Bucky had asked to be saved, but it's also in the clips themselves. In the way Bucky watches Tony, the way he leans his cheek on his fist as he listens to Tony ramble about his latest invention, the way his smile brightens when Tony enters the room, the way he seems to gravitate towards Tony, always sitting close by, even when the whole group is together. Steve sees it. Steve recognizes it with a sense of giddy delight, because he's seen Bucky looking at him that way since 1934. Do you remember any of this? Steve asks quietly. Tony isn't paying attention to them, but Bucky is still sitting beside Steve, their shoulders pressing lightly together as they watch the rapidly changing slideshow of moments of time. Steve tries not to let the tiny, treacherous flicker of hope show in his voice, because deep in his heart, he knows the answer already. But he can't stop himself from asking anyway. He fails, clearly. Bucky glances sideways at him, with an expression of apology and regret. No, he says quietly, shaking his head. He catches his lower lip briefly between his teeth, worrying at it as he looks back to the screen. There's a clip playing from last week. Tony and Natasha are twirling gracefully around the open space of the gym floor, doing some sort of waltz. Beside them, Clint and Sam are alternately trying to imitate them and cracking up laughing. Bucky's teeth release his lower lip, and his mouth twitches up in a small, quiet smile instead. I don't remember it, but I remember how it felt. How it feels. Bucky's metal hand twitches, the plates shifting and readjusting, and Steve instinctively reaches for it, threading their fingers together. He rubs his thumb over the smooth metal, reassuring, grounding, and Bucky smiles at him. I remember him, Bucky says, and there's both a frown line between his eyebrows and the hint of a beatific smile at the corners of his lips. I never met him until this morning, but I... Bucky fumbles, his mouth shaping the word, but the sound getting stuck somewhere in his throat. After a moment, he gives up and just squeezes Steve's hand. You know? He asks, and Steve nods. He maybe doesn't get it. Maybe we'll never fully understand what it's like for Bucky to wake up over and over in a life he doesn't know. But the expression in Bucky's eyes when he turns his gaze back to Tony? That Steve gets. Tony, Steve calls, unable to tear his eyes away from Bucky. You can argue with yourself later, but you need to come over here and be part of this moment right now. It takes a moment, but then the bed beside him dips, and Bucky pulls away from Steve enough to lean over his lap and kiss Tony. It's good. Almost too good. Steve leans back, relaxed, comfortable and safe and a little drowsy. He watches Tony and Bucky kiss over him, until eventually Bucky gets impatient enough to crawl across Steve to reach Tony better. Steve is happy just to watch for now, too tired to be much of a participant anyway. So he watches, enjoying the sight of Tony and Bucky getting to know each other better. Watches them explore each other, and drinking in the soft sounds of pleasure that they make. Steve almost doesn't realize that he's falling asleep, until he feels Tony settling down beside him. Tony arranges them so that he can curl up against Steve's uninjured side, his chin resting on Steve's shoulder, and Bucky settles himself on Tony's other side, his arm stretched across Tony to rest his hand on Steve's stomach. Bucky settles the blankets over all three of them, and Tony mushes pillows into place. Steve can't be bothered to rouse enough to help, but once they're both settled, he curls his own fingers around Bucky's hand on his stomach, and he turns his face to press a kiss into Tony's hair. Jarvis, add this to the file, Steve says. His eyes are closed, and he can't be bothered to open them. There'll be time in the morning. Time for talking and touching and making plans. But now, he's drifting off in a haze of exhaustion, wrapped up in warmth, and the knowledge that the two men he loves are right there with him. None of us should forget this.